Your Bibles tonight, please, to Acts chapter 20. Great chapter in the Word of God. They're all great chapters, but Acts 20. And this week and next week, today we'll look at verses 1 through 16, and next week we'll look at the remainder of the chapter. But have any of you ever heard of the great English preacher F.B. Meyer? Okay, English meaning from England. Okay, and he said this. Now tonight, the main thrust of the lesson is faithfulness. Okay, us being faithful. And F.B. Meyer said this: don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities, which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention. You know, a lot of times we want big things, right? You know, big grand things, but we need to be faithful in the little things. So whatever opportunity is before you, be faithful. You know, and the more of those we have, the greater then may the opportunities become, okay? Now, speaking about being faithful, I want to give an illustration. Maybe some of you are old enough to remember this. Anybody around in 1983? Okay, a few of us were. Jamie, you weren't around in 1983? Okay. All right. One of the most tragic events during the Reagan presidency, I almost said pregnancy, but presidency, was the 1983 Sunday morning terrorist bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut, Lebanon. 299 Americans were killed, and scores were wounded as they slept. A few days after that tragedy, an amazing story was told of one of the injured soldiers. And Marine Corps Commandant Paul Kelly, He visited some of the wounded soldiers at the time who were in Frankfurt, Germany, in a hospital there. And among them was Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nachton. He was severely wounded in the incident. Nachton had so many tubes running in and out of his body that Kelly said he looked more like a machine than a human being. Yet he survived. As Kelly neared him, Nachton, struggling to move and racked with pain, motioned for a piece of paper and a pen. He couldn't speak because he had one of those breathing tubes down his, and he was awake with the breathing tube down his throat. He wrote a brief note and passed it back to the commandant, and on the slip of paper were but two words: Semper Fi. Short for the Latin motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. Always faithful. And that's what God wants us to be. Always faithful. Big things, little things. We're not all going to be Apostle Pauls. We're not all going to have the opportunity to, you know, travel the world and plant hundreds of churches. But God wants us to be always faithful. So today we'll see this. We'll see Paul leave Ephesus after an uproar caused by Demetrius. But always, he continued, faithful to his calling in the little things and in the big things. So from Ephesus, he traveled through Macedonia. Look at verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. So he went from Macedonia into Greece, and he left Timothy behind. Put your finger there, but go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Remember what we just read. He left Ephesus to go to Macedonia. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he said, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia. So shortly after Paul's leaving, Ephesus to go to Macedonia, he writes to Timothy. And he tells him, remember when I left you in Ephesus? Well, here's the historical rendering of that. So we see in Paul the example of a man who did not stop to be depressed, downtrodden, or deterred. He just kept going. You know, aren't there things out there to make us depressed? Of course there are. Aren't there things down there that beat us down constantly? Of course there are. Aren't there things out there that try to get us off course? Of course there are. But we can't stop being faithful. We need to just be faithful, plow ahead, do what God has called us to do. So notice with me, there are notes, if you didn't get them, both front and back. But notice the first point. And I didn't have any blanks for you to fill in this week. So last week I had almost everything had a blank, but no blanks this week. So still pay attention, okay? But notice the faithfulness of Paul. And notice with me Satan's resistance, verses 1 to 3. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So we see Satan's resistance here. And friends, anything moving forward will face adversity. Anytime we're advancing the cause of Christ, we're going to face adversity. Because who doesn't like that? The world, the flesh, the devil. You know, there'll be adversity within the church from the worldly Christians, the fleshly Christians. There'll be opposition from the world. And of course, there'll be demonic opposition. There'll always be adversity. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. We had mentioned already how Paul wrote the book of Corinthians while in Ephesus. And we notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 16, 8. He says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me." So what's that first part of the verse say? Great opportunities. And we know that. We saw how many people got saved. We saw the value of the books that were burned. And based on the value of the books that were burned, and knowing that people didn't have huge libraries back then, that must have meant a lot of people got saved, right? So a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So when there's great opportunity, there's great adversity also. And it shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us. So we see Satan's resistance. And Paul's enemies, when he gets back there into Greece, the Jews laid wait for him. And Paul Chappell, in his commentary on the book of Acts, says this. Paul Chappell is the president of West Coast Baptist College. And he says, "The question is not whether Satan will resist our work for God. That is a given. The question is whether we will prove to be faithful when we face his resistance and continue by God's grace in the ministry to which God has called us." So the bottom line is, are we going to be faithful? That's the bottom line. Not, well, I'll be faithful as long as I don't face any resistance. You're going to face resistance. Sometimes the person that resists the most is the one that's looking at you in the mirror. I'm my own enemy sometimes, you know. And every morning I look at that guy in the mirror, and he grows more and more handsome every... No, you know, but... That's a lie. Forgive me. All right. So, Satan's resistance. The faithfulness of Paul, we see Satan's resistance, and then, letter B, we see the Holy Ghost's redirection. Now, look at verses 4 to 6, and I'll try to, as best as I can, to not kill these names. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sotipher of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus. Now, I asked Alex what his name meant in Spanish. And his name means second. And this word in Greek, Secundas, means second. So Alex's relatives accompanied Paul. Okay? So we have a famous person among us. Okay? And Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. And I'm glad we have names like Bill and Bob and Joe. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So Luke here is being very particular in A, who is with them, and B, the amount of days. And in a minute we'll see, I believe, why he says that. But the Holy Spirit had redirected Paul from Ephesus and now redirected him from Europe back to Asia. Okay? Remember, Macedonian call in Greece, but now he's going back to Asia, visiting some of the churches that he'd already planted, see how they're doing to encourage them. And Paul was accompanied by several men from his missionary work. And friends, can I say this? A large harvest requires a lot of laborers. And we have to understand, friends, that from the time of Jesus, he said, what did he say? Pray ye therefore to the Lord of harvest that he would send more what? Laborers. And we need to understand this, friends. There's a great need here for more laborers. You know, there's a great need in God's whole harvest field for more laborers. We as Christians don't do what we should be doing. And too many Christians are spectators rather than partakers, you know, in the game. You go and you watch the Patriots and you know, there's how many thousands of people, if there's no COVID, how many thousands of people in Gillette Stadium? You know, many. And, you know, a handful of people playing the game. And that's sadly sometimes what the church is like, you know. And we need to get away from that. And we need to realize, you know, we all need to be actively involved in this with the gospel, having gospel encounters all week long, okay? So notice with me in verses 7 to 8 now the faithfulness of the early church. We saw the faithfulness of Paul. He continued on. When there was resistance, he either kept going or just moved on, depending how the Holy Spirit led him. But the faithfulness of the early church, verse 7 and 8. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. So one of the reasons I think Luke was so particular in the amount of days they were there and the traveling is to specify that the first day of the week the church gathered together. They were faithful to assemble. The early church was faithful to assemble. Believers met with Paul when he arrived in Troas, which is in Asia Minor. And the early church met on the first day of the week. First day of the week is Sunday. Why do we meet on Sunday? Because of the resurrection, the cornerstone of our faith. The only of the Ten Commandments you don't find repeated in the New Testament is remember the Sabbath day. And here we are, it's Wednesday now. It doesn't say you can't meet any other days, but you gather together for worship of the Lord on Sunday. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. First first two verses, the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as they have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So again, the first day of the week, they met to worship. And in their meeting to worship, we'll see here that they heard preaching, they gave, they remembered the Lord's table. So again, we're talking about faithful to assemble, the faithfulness of the early church. God is faithful to us. And friends, He expects His people to be faithful. And one way to show that faithfulness is obeying His command of being in church on Sunday. Hebrews 10, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So why is it so hard to get believers to be faithful to church services? Now, that's not a question that, you know, I want to, but if you do know the answer, let me know, because, you know, but anyway. Again, Paul Chappell said this, and it's a short sentence, but so true. Paul Chappell said, "True faith shows up in faithfulness." You know, true faith shows up in faithfulness. Maybe a lot of people aren't faithful because they don't have true faith. You know, so we need to understand that. We also need to understand God's always faithful to us, always. So He expects us to be faithful. They were faithful to worship also. Not only faithful to assemble, but faithful to worship. They were gathered together for the Lord's table. And also, friends, they were faithful to preaching. A faithful believer hungers for the Word of God. What does it say in Acts 2:42? What were the fingerprints of the local church? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, in fellowship and prayers. You know, the four fingerprints of the early church, and how you know, they were faithful. And as a believer, we should hunger for the Word. And again, whether you're faithful or not shows whether you have that hunger, you know? And we need to do that, be faithful. So the faithfulness of Paul, the faithfulness of the early church, notice with me the faithfulness of God in verses 9 through 16. And first, in healing Eutychus. Verse 9 says, "And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted." Now, the faithfulness of God in healing Eutychus. Now, Eutychus fought hard to try not to fall asleep, but he fell asleep. He lost his battle. And because of where he was sitting, I don't recommend anybody sitting in the windows, but because of where he was sitting, he fell out the window, three floors down, and died. Now, God removed a source of heartbreak to the church by raising him. They raised him back to life. And then what does Paul go right back to doing? Preaching. Okay? Don't complain about the length of our sermons. Okay? We will not preach from sunup till sundown, and then when somebody dies, keep on preaching. We will not do that. But again, seriously, you know, these people hungered for the Word of God. And just think about the love they had for Paul, and rightly so. Paul probably led many of these people to the Lord. You know, Paul was there to start that church. And so, you know, People fall asleep during your message. People, I don't take offense if they fell asleep during Paul preaching, you know. Now, that's no excuse. Well, you know, Pastor Dan, you're not Paul. So, but try not to fall asleep. But, you know, anyway, seriously, though. But think about that. That must have been traumatic. You know, you're in a church service, you're being blessed, you're fellowshipping together, and somebody dies. I'll never forget one time in our home church in Robertsville. Our pastor was away, and one of the deacons, Rick Henderson, was preaching. And a man, sadly, had a massive heart attack and died while he was preaching. And Rick, not knowing what to do, you know, oh, that never happened before. Well, that's good. But, you know, but the guys in heaven, praise the Lord for that. But, you know, it can be alarming, and that alarmed the church. But God blessed this church and allowed Paul to raise him from the dead. But also, the faithfulness of God, not only in healing Eutychus, but in providing co-laborers. Look at verse 13. And he went before to ship and sailed unto Azos, there intending to take in Paul. For so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met us at Azos, we took him in and came to whatever the name of that town is. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trigillium. And the next day we came to Miletus. Let me give you one little, even though I murder all these words, CH in the Bible is not the CH sound like church. It's the K sound. So just so you know that, okay? Anyway, so I didn't kill that. That's not chios, it's chios, okay? Anyway, most of these other things I destroy, and you know that. So Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And we read that in 1 Corinthians, right? He said, I'm leaving you, Timothy, in Ephesus, because after I go into Macedonia, I want to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost. So Paul spent time alone. Notice everybody else took the boat, but Paul spended some time alone and walked to Azos while others sailed. I think sometimes a good walk alone with God is needed. You ever just spend time alone with God? Nothing else but your Bible. Just you and God. I remember when I pastored in New York and we were not too far from the camp, Tri-State, where Heather grew up. I don't know if any of you, some of you have been to Tri-State. But across from the main campus, they also owned 50 acres across the road. There was a big field there. They had an old Ford tractor with a pull-behind mower, and it would take a good 4 or 5 hours to cut the field. And I would just love to go there sometimes, just by myself, no cell phone, no nothing, and just ride the tractor, you know, and cut the grass. It was good therapy, good alone time with God. We need to do that. There's a lot of noise out there, friends, a lot of noise. Any of you folks who are doing or who are coming to the Season Saints know that this week, this past couple of weeks, we've been doing about reading about the voice of God and how there's so many things that drown out God's voice. Sometimes we need to shut it all off and just get along with God. Just shut everything off. Shut the phone off. Hide the phone. You know, whatever, and just get along with God. Good therapy. Paul needed to do that too. Paul wanted to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost. So how do we apply all of this to our lives today, friends? You know, the church today needs faithful members and pastors. I think what has happened is we have lost faithfulness, just being faithful to God. And sometimes being faithful is just showing up. You know, we need people who will follow the Lord and his word no matter the cost or consequences. We see a lot of that going on right now in Canada at our northern border with three pastors. I forget now the third pastor that the government is going after. And Deb was telling me her brother is a missionary pastor up there, and she was sharing with me tonight how ridiculous the laws are up there. And they have like zero COVID, but everybody else, you know, is doing this, so they just feel they need to. What province is your brother in? Manitoba. Yep. So, you know, we need people who will follow the Lord and his word no matter the cost or consequences. We need people who will faithfully labor in the Lord's vineyard. Now, an interesting thing about Paul. Paul traveled in his life. If you have the maps in the back of your Bible and you see all the missionary journeys of Paul, well, somebody figured out how many miles that was. And Paul traveled approximately 10 to 12,000 miles on his missionary journeys. For some 15 years, he evangelized and planted churches in a 1,500 square mile radius. No planes, no trains, no automobiles. Okay? Mostly by foot, a little bit of sailing. He was sick. He was injured much of the time. He needed the constant care of Dr. Luke, yet he continued faithfully for God. I don't think it was an accident that Paul traveled with Luke. And I think Luke was a doctor, and Luke had to care for him. Paul talked about the thorn of his flesh. And again, look at 2 Corinthians, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians, we're talking about faithfulness. 2 Corinthians 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measures. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Friends, that's 195 scars on Paul's body just from that verse. 40 stripes minus one, five times. So, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, after reading that list and thinking of Paul's faithfulness, what's our excuse? Do we have one? Well, you know, Pastor, it's snowing. We live in New Hampshire. It's raining. I'm tired. I'm busy. Well, you know, after all, we do have this pandemic called COVID. What does it take to stop us? We need to be faithful, friends. What about you? Will you be faithful? Will I be faithful? Will we be faithful? It's not easy. The Lord never said it would be easy. In fact, you becoming a Christian made your life more difficult. Are there times that it's a blessed life? It's always the blessed life. But it's not the easy life. You know, and we need to understand that. Be faithful. What does God require of his stewards? Faithfulness. That's what we need to be, faithful. Father, help us.